Welcome to Teaching Writing, Ideas and Strategies. Today I'm with Heather Graves, my co-author of several books, including A Concise Guide to Technical Communication, which is coming out in fall 2020. It's really right out right now with Broadview.com, Broadview Press. In the next series of podcasts, we'll focus on that book and specifically how we would teach technical communication principles using it. If you are new or relatively new to teaching communication in a technical or science context, these episodes should be of interest to you. If you're interested in learning how to write in a technical or science context, there's probably much that you'll find of interest here too. And if you're a student, well, these episodes might give you some insight into what the person organizing your learning is trying to accomplish. Started by just talking about, why did we write this book? Where did the idea come from?
Well, for me, I guess there's a couple of reasons why I was happy to have the opportunity to write this book. And one of the reasons was that it's kind of an opportunity for a do-over. I've learned a lot about style and clarity and conciseness over the last few years. And so I wanted to incorporate some of those ideas not only into the content of the book, but also into the way that the book was written. So it was really nice to have a chance to work on that aspect of revising and making it more clear and concise. I guess the second reason that I remember us taking this project on was because our editor at Broadview Press, Marjorie Mather, suggested that there might be a reasonable market for a version of our strategic guide to technical communication that was shorter and even more concise.
And let's not forget, cheaper too.
True.
Heather, can you talk a little bit about the work you did with David Beard on your edited collection called A Rhetoric of Oil? Now, that came out last year from Routledge. How did what you learned about communicating science in that project work its way into the concise guide?
I guess I've been interested in style for a long time. Reading through the manuscripts in The Rhetoric of Oil in the 21st Century, I was struck by the range of authorial voices, I guess you could say, and the way that people talked about and presented their data and findings. And what I found was there was quite a range, but there was a couple of people who their discussions about oil and climate change are largely emotional arguments. So what I found was that there were some authors in our book that let their emotional position dominates, and when that happened, it was really difficult to follow the argument that they were trying to make, because their word choice would interfere with your ability to process what they were trying to say. So I realized that yes, they're writing academic prose, but they were also writing highly technical arguments. So the people who could remain, could make select words that were honest and, I'm gonna say, neutral. There's a temptation to say objective, but that word is already way too ideologically weighted itself. But more neutral use of language allowed those authors to present an argument that you could follow and appreciate, whether or not, you know, regardless of your emotional stance on the rhetoric of oil.
In early 2021, we have another book coming out from Broadview on business communication. In the concise guide, we've included a super short introduction to writing at work. I think the idea for that also came from an instructor.
Yes, it came from some reviewer feedback, people who had used the book, and they suggested that it would be really valuable to have an overview of the principles of business communication, so that because their technical communication students are in the workplace and they have to write a lot of these documents. So that's why we developed this chapter that tries to introduce students. The other issue is, well, the other good thing about it, I think, is that we take a rhetorical perspective towards business communication. So it's about how motivating your reader to respond to the request that you have to make or the policy that you're presenting to them.
Yeah, in that book, what we do is we use what are called rhetorical situations. That's the Lloyd Bitzer term for those of you who've studied rhetoric. But we're trying to sort of situate the exercises for students in a context so that they can sort of apply these concepts to that context.
That's in the business communication
text. That's right,
text.
Yeah. It's called Business Communication Rhetorical Situations. Look for that in January 2021. There was another instructor who really made an impact on us. Again, we're trying to take any kind of feedback we get from listeners like you, people who are using the book, and we try to incorporate that in the next versions that we're doing. And we are planning a revision of the strategic guide in the next couple of years. So if you've got ideas, we'd love to hear them. Ethan Sproat, who works at Utah Valley University, we were talking to him a few years ago, and he made some really good points about what I'm going to call medium, or the different kinds of technical communication that are out there these days. And so we got to the chapter 9 on technical communication online. We tried to add a lot more new stuff to that. And personally, I've been using this stuff in the last few years myself. I sort of dedicated myself to getting up to speed on social media. But also in my work as Writing Across the Curriculum coordinator or director at the University of Alberta, we realized that we could reach a much bigger audience if we started to post a lot of our stuff online. So we created a bunch of YouTube videos which were basically screencasts, where we would have a few slides with a particular principle or idea, and then we would sort of explain what those are. So you can look for those on YouTube. They might be of useful use to you. And so the other kind of thing I did was I created a bunch of Prezis instead of slides decks. And part of my motivation for using Prezi was that I could post those online and people could look at them. I did one on, what was it now? It was sort of like the history of process pedagogy. And it's had like 4,000 looks at that, 4,000 views. So that woke me up to the concept that, well, if you sort of put this stuff out there, there's many different people can look at it. And this particular podcast that you're listening to has had 25 to 30,000 listens, which is way beyond anything I would have ever imagined before doing it. But I think that what we're trying to do in Chapter 9 there is sort of broaden students' perspectives or give them a sense that you can do a bunch of different things. So technical communication in the 21st century probably involves not just the written text. Sometimes it involves videos. Sometimes it involves other kinds of things like audio things like podcasts. So there's many different ways in which you can get ideas across to people.